This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The Food and Drug Administration is deciding what to do about dietary supplements. Some of those products have been blamed for harmful side effects, but Congress took away most of the FDA's power over supplements 10 years ago. The idea behind the law then was that the supplements come from foods, so they should not be regulated like drugs. Now, the FDA is holding a public meeting as it decides what to do within the limits of that law. Here's NPR's Joanne Silberner.
60% of Americans use some type of dietary supplement, according to manufacturers. In the decades since the 1994 law was passed, there have been health problems with some food supplements, everything from behavioral changes to death. The law is known by its acronym, DSHEA. It does allow the FDA some limited oversight of manufacturing practices, product claims, and completely new food-based chemicals. But until now, the FDA has rarely used its authority or even spelled out what manufacturers should do. Susan Walker directs the Division for Dietary Supplement Programs at the FDA. She says the idea now is to set clear enough rules under DSHEA that the industry will voluntarily comply. Voluntary compliance is important given the agency's limited power. Even the industry thinks it's time for some action. Annette Dickinson is head of the Supplement Trade Association, the Council for Responsible Nutrition.
We think these initiatives are a good sign that FDA is now buckling down to fully implement DSHEA.
Dickinson says she's been worried about a push by some members of Congress for greater oversight of supplements. That push started after a spate of deaths among people taking ephedra and certain steroids. She says enforcing the old DSHEA regulations could quiet the requests for new legislation. Like many other FDA watchers, Dickinson suspects the agency has held back on rulemaking.
I think for the first 6 or 8 years after DSHEA was passed, there were many people in FDA who were very much offended by it because it was a rejection of some FDA approaches to regulating dietary supplements, and I think they just didn't accept it as part of their core responsibility to implement that law.
The value of the supplement market has nearly quadrupled since DSHEA was passed. The FDA's Walker says that's why the rulemaking is happening now.
There are many more dietary supplement products on the market now than there were 10 years ago. It's clearly something that will be of benefit to industry and of benefit to consumers.
Consumer advocates like Bruce Silverglade aren't impressed by the new initiative. He's director of legal affairs at the Center for Science and the Public Interest. He says Congress has handcuffed the agency. For example, even if the agency comes up with clear rules for what supplement makers can put on labels, it still can't do anything until after the products are on the shelves. He wants the agency's review authority expanded beyond new products and labeling.
What really needs to happen is that companies have to report adverse reactions of all products to the FDA so that the agency then can promptly take dangerous products off the marketplace. And ultimately, Congress should require the FDA or the National Academy of Sciences to review the safety of all dietary supplement ingredients.
But he's not hopeful that will happen. There are some powerful forces at work in Congress protecting supplements.
The dietary supplement industry has some true believers in Congress who really swear by various products they believe have benefited their own health. But that's really not a scientific basis for Congress to establish public policy on.
In addition, there's a strong grassroots lobby. They're likely to be at today's hearing, which is intended to give the FDA a chance to hear public views on its proposals. Actual regulations could be out in a few months. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.